We are live, and we are streaming, so hey everybody, yeah. Listening to News Truth Radio, I'm Vinny Eastwood here with the fabulous Wild Hunt, Mr. Hunt,
much.
Thank you very much for inviting me on.
You can call me Andy, that's okay.
It's Andy,
no probs. So, there's people in the chat box here, and I've told them that that's what we're doing live, because that's just the way things go, and that you are, in fact, in Auckland, and I know it took us half an hour to work out the 12-hour difference before, which I really enjoyed, but actually, I think for some strange reason, it's moved on to a 13-hour difference right now from where you are to where
we
are.
Yeah, that's daylight savings. Have you noticed that the winters have gotten a hell of a lot more severe since the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I paid attention to that. I wasn't happy with that. You would be talking then about the... it's such a serious disaster that it was that it would be the Gulf Stream, the changes over with the blackening of the sea, no matter what they did, which was, in my understanding, Vinny, as well, Vincent Eastwood, that it was not an engineering accident by any stretch of the imagination. Ian R. Crane reckons, and I reckon, given what I've seen on the open and free internet, that it was very much divisive. It was very planned, that thing. Absolutely a terrible. I'm glad you raised that point, really.
Yeah. It was because of that disaster, allegedly, that the Gulf Stream, which the Northern Hemisphere allegedly owes much of its warmer climate to, shut down. And we have that article on guerrillamedia.co.nz. If you go for Gulf Stream Shuts Down in the North Atlantic, you'll be able to see the article that we posted up there. So basically, the Northern Hemisphere has now lost its regulatory weather patterns, and it's just, mate, in Texas, hot as all F Texas is freezing. Like the guys who run the board in Austin, Texas, where I do my show, they are seriously like buttoned up in mittens and scarves and goodness knows what. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm trying to watch that. I'm trying to follow it. I've not seen, because on the odd occasion, I've got my box here, my Sky box kind of thing. And I try to hone in on the global national news media, which is the very reason you set up your site, to just get on and talk. I've not actually seen any pictures of that there with regard to... I have seen pictures of Ecuador. There's a volcano going off in Ecuador, which was dormant for a long time. And it is of concern with the sort of massive global changes that seem to be going on here. The thing is, and this is the thing, my viewpoint entirely, Vinny, is that... what with the HAARP weapons in place in town worldwide and, the Gulf oil disaster, which could indeed be spewing out the very plasma and the blood from Earth right now, this is not natural. There's nothing fucking natural, excuse my language, natural about this. This is man-made. Not that you'll get that on national global news television, but this is very, very serious. With regard to the changes in weather,
Tried to say national global news channel, but had a Freudian slip there and said the national Goebbel.
Oh, did I? Okay. So I've been drinking, just waiting for your call, and drinking a little bit of Czech beer, just to be honest with you. I'm not, I've just been drinking a bit. It's actually coming on to 10:30 in the evening here. And, I'm not, maybe I'm slurring a little bit. I'm sorry about that. Sorry.
I don't know. I think that was a great Freudian slip. The Goebbels media, that's great. Because I feel that when you look at the media, when you look at virtually anything these days, you just see Nazi ideology now. That's about it. I scarcely see anything else.
It's blatant. What else was it I saw in New Zealand, though? People are watching this. They're observing every continent, everything. Oh, God. But there was something in New Zealand, other than what you told me with regard to a legislation came in that doesn't allow you to disseminate your paperwork and even put up a megaphone in front of your mouth on the street.
That's a new council bylaw. It is illegal to use amplification devices without a license from the council. Like, you have to go up and say, hey, can I have some freedom of speech and be able to use it through a megaphone? Yes, sure. Here, sign the paperwork, pay us a fee, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And now you can have your freedom. And the power to license is the power to destroy. So is the power to tax. And I feel that is both. And not only that, but it is illegal to hand out leaflets of any kind at all, even at a protest. Okay? Council officers come to protest now looking for people who are handing out leaflets to other protesters on a fucking protest, pardon my French, and say, you can't do that, you can't do that. Why do they always get people who can't speak English properly to enforce things that are really anti-language?
So you've got it over there too, I can assure you. In Ireland, and certainly in the UK, these black-covered faces of the riot police, you know, who the hell are they? You know, they're from Eastern Europe, complete no-namers who are mercenaries, basically, getting paid to kick the shit out of people who have a right to peacefully make a stance, make your voice known, as simple as that. But
that's what happens when you want to suppress a local population. The best way to do it is to get foreigners to come in and do it for you. The who are the people that the British brought in to suppress the Americans who were revolting during the American War of Revolution or something like that? Prussians, Germans, or something of that nature. Brought in mercenaries. Hey, mercenaries don't care. They're being paid, they're going to come in, they don't give a shit about the Constitution or any kind of form of human rights or whatever, they'll just kill people, take out their eyeballs and use them as trophies and hang them around their necks as a nice big necklace.
God,
and now there's 2,500 US troops now stationed and training in Australia. Allegedly, they're also coming to New Zealand. They've already got troops stationed all around the world. It's just, you feel, as a patriot or what have you, what the hell is happening to my country? Where is it going? Is it all flushing down the toilet as quickly as humanly possible? And we just had a statistic released from the government not too long ago that more people have left New Zealand under the recent national government than under the previous Labor government. And I say that this is not surprising, as I did hear from a few people pre-election, if we have a national government, I'm leaving this effing country. But little do they know, there's no escape from a new world order controlled false left-right dichotomy with a bankster prime sinister that will sell your ass out forever to ruthless criminals. Get with the programming.
I'm just pulling up... I'm hoping my stream will still stream out because, you know, the broadband and stuff. But I'm just pulling up one video which I came across. The point is, you're smart enough and switched on to know. I'm just going to pop it into the chat box here. I know we're recording it. You can edit this as you wish in a podcast. And I really appreciate it. It was Daniel Estulin. Do you know Daniel Estulin? What do you know of him?
I want to interview him.
Yeah, me too. And I think he's a very busy man. Thank God he's actually still alive and unarrested. This year, beginning of this year, has been quite spectacular. They clearly had a plan to, sell the arms appropriately, David Cameron, into Egypt, and then get to Egypt killing Libyans. And, everything that you see is very, very, it's going very fast and it's very manipulated. But Daniel Estulin is finally saying what Ian R. Crane has been saying for quite some time. And he spoke in the EU, in a proper conference in the EU Parliament with some others, talking about the summer's June, July, the meeting of the Bilderberg Group in Switzerland, whereby a couple of the members were arrested and taken out. And, basically he says that... it's all about the money. It's all about the bankers. It's clearly a... I've been trying to get Ian R. Crane for quite some time. I know they're very busy men. Basically, you just sort of let them speak, really. They've done their research. They've done their time. I trust in them. I believe in them. You can find their documentation. Sorry, go on.
It's the same with every single activist, and that's why I bring on so many people that nobody's ever heard of on my show, as well as all those big guests and that kind of thing. Because, quite frankly, if you want to get information, and this is the difference between, say, my show and mainstream news media, is that if you're getting information from people, you often either have a choice between listening directly to the horse's mouth of somebody who's been living and breathing and sweating the issues out of their every single pore and orifice for the last 3, 5, 10 years of their life, or what have you, however many decades, or you can have it commentated and summarized for you by some douchebag reporter who doesn't know Shiite Muslim about what the F they're talking about, who doesn't really know how to do anything in terms of news reporting except how to do their hair properly.
So it's stunning. Is the free and open internet was available to people, let's say, 5 years ago. That's where I went to find my answers on law, legislation, the corruption of the courts, just for the basis, and then all the rabbit runs that come off that, Vinny. And, you know, I've learned, so as many, many others. I'm wondering if maybe the reason they leave the free and open internet up at this time is that they feel, the powers that be up above, that even the hundreds of thousands that are wide awake in Canada, America, Ireland, England, Australia and New Zealand just aren't enough to, I don't know, you know, I've got some hope here that we persist, that I'm going to try and publicise the plan. I'm sorry, I know I'm bouncing around here, Vinny. I know you can probably cope with that, but I'm very concerned about the timing of what's going to be happening in July, the London Olympics, because I'm excited in some way, because after what I've learned about the sheer longevity of their plan, 700 years or more minimum, that I know that even though they think they have all the chess game, that they know how we're going to react everything, on this particular occasion, they've meticulously planned it so much, what with the as well the natural energy to be drained from people, from say a positive to a negative, that there's not a chance in hell they're going to be able to not go forward with their plans in July. I don't know if you're aware of that in any great depth, but you know the Bloom Beam project, a possible even nuclear explosion actually going on, which would end successfully their plans, of course, being psychos.
Times like these that I refer to ancient Chinese wisdom of Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War. No battle plan has ever survived a battle. It doesn't matter how well you plan out something, something will always happen to mess up the works. And that's the real problem that I feel that the New World Order has, is that they think they can predict, control, and manipulate everything. Now, how arrogant an assumption is that? What kind of wild cards can you throw out here? Like, I'm a wild card, you're a wild card. And that's what I talk about a lot of the time, is the power of the individual. It's never a group or a massive movement of people that actually make any decent, long-lasting, realistic change. It's always, throughout history, been proven to be the small, determined minority who are working day after day for a better world. So you never have to be afraid about which large, overarching group is facilitating their plans of ultimate domination and inherent scumbaggery, just as long as you know that you, as a human being, as a person, are the wild card that can throw the monkey wrench right in the works and mess up everything for them with merely a few words out of your mouth.
Yeah, I agree. In your stance, I'm very excited about the sheer. I don't know if you got your head around just how many. Maybe I'm wrong. It's not just hundreds of thousands, but maybe many more than that that really do have a full comprehension of what's actually going on here. And I'm, you know, I'm hopeful that that will make great change. It will, you know. I don't know if you saw the pictures out of... Actually, wait. Before I go on to something else, let's just pick up on what you just said about the American troops going to Australia. I think that was another dirty trick played by the Prime Minister, you know, all in the pockets of the New World Order, all paid for, you know. Alex Jones 5 years ago was saying that the American troops will be withdrawn from Afghanistan and then they'll be walking the streets guarding the doors of America and kicking in the doors of America. I do believe in the, I don't know if it's called the White House, what's it called, you know, the Senate, wherever they pass their bills, that they passed a bill recently to indeed say that they can go beyond any national law, any international law, any sovereignty, and just create a war at will, because clearly that's what we're seeing with the murder of Gaddafi as well in Libya. There's no rule book here. You know, it's a free-for-all now, you know?
Yeah, well, they haven't been playing by rules for quite some time, other than the rule of Lucifer, which is to have no rules.
Yeah, I know.
And I feel that if you're up against an enemy that has no rules and things of that nature, hey, we don't have to follow any rules either to a large extent. There's provisos on that, though. Like, for example, I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't want to kill nobody. I don't want to manipulate, lie, deceive, destroy. All you got to do is figure out what their modus operandi is and then do the exact opposite. They operate under nothing but lies. That means we have to operate under nothing but truth. They operate with violence. That means we have to operate with peace. They operate with disinformation. We need to operate with real information.
Yes.
They operate with massive, overarching, huge, mechanized companies and all these control structures. Ergo, we have to have no control structure, and everybody has to be operating completely independent, much like a sleeper cell would.
Yeah.
They have poisons and things of that nature that they contaminate our food with. Ergo, we need to find a non-contaminated food source. They poison our water. Ergo, we need to find clean water. They poison our air. Ergo, we've got to stop them from doing so. So on and so forth. It just comes down to the point where if you know the enemy agenda, you will automatically know what you have to do. This is the impetus that I believe every person who understands the truth, knows the truth, and speaks the truth needs to comprehend. And it's a great thing. The only thing that I really agree with about Nike is their tagline, just do it. Because what have you got to lose? You know, some people say I don't want to stand up and fight against the New World Order. They'll exterminate me. They're already gonna, you nutbag. Okay, it's not gonna change a freaking thing. Sitting around complaining about it and doing absolutely nothing, taking no action against an enemy that works tirelessly and never takes a day off in order to corrupt, destroy, and absolutely annihilate all human life and everything that there is to be human.
Spot on. And also, can I just also add that with regard to the blatantness of what people would appear to believe in politics, democracy, politics in any country on planet Earth right now, and certainly with regard to 9/11, is that perfectly valid questions and some, you know, very, very serious people just keep asking the questions, because quite honest, obviously, the filth of the dishonesty and non-transparency of what they do is that they won't answer your questions because they can't answer your questions. So if you want to embarrass them publicly or it's your right just to ask questions. Know your stuff and ask the appropriate questions constantly, because for sure they're not going to be answered, and you're not going to be going to court for any libel issues neither.
And for goodness sake, when you do ask them a question that you know they're not going to answer, make sure you do it on camera. When you point a camera at somebody, you ask them a question you know they're not going to answer properly, you get three typical responses out of these scumbags. One, they'll dodge the question, which means they're dodgy. Two, they'll lie, which means they're dodgy. Or three, they might actually just tell the truth and let something slip. Either way, encounter some of these scumbags and you don't record it, that is the biggest wasted opportunity that you could ever conceive of, because only you will benefit from the knowledge of that encounter. And I believe that knowledge is power. Some people think that it should be therefore coveted and kept to yourself if you want power. I think that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If knowledge is power, it has to be shared, so that way nobody can be corrupted by it from the personal accumulation. But I think wholeheartedly that it's not necessarily about me, it's not necessarily about you, it really is about all of us, although each and every one of us contributes in our own way. And this is why I don't like the idea of competition, you know, first past the post, he won the race, he gets silver, he gets gold, he gets bronze. If we're all running in a rigged race, then we all lose. It's just that simple. If we're all working together to get to the end of the line together, we all win.
Okay. I tell you what, right? Can I just stop you there? I think that's a tagline almost that you've got for me and R. Crane. I wanted to ask you about your probably individual interview with Ian R. Crane, because I've pulled up an MP3 called simply because he's done an awful lot of work. I've met him personally myself through good fortune in Ireland. But the PNAC, I don't know what it stands for, but a PowerPoint presentation that Ian R. Crane said. Now, towards the end of that 1.5 hour presentation, he actually does get quite emotional and explains to people, you know, he tells that story about people running, there's a race like at the Olympics, and people just go back to help the guy who fell down, because we are so very, very in this all together. We have to work together, and there's nothing better than a feeling than to work together. I'm actually hearing some great stuff on TV about how people are feeling. That it's just that, and they're coming from the heart, they're coming from the right place, but they probably don't know at this time that they're being played, that there's a bigger play afoot. But I just wanted to ask you about that, because you're right, because I'm an analyst like you, and I totally respect. By the way, I come from Torquay, southwest of the UK, very, very close to Newton Abbott, come Exeter, where Ian R. Crane is living and was raised as well. But, I mean, what did you get from the Ian R. Crane interview? I haven't heard it yet. I will listen to it. I've got the link now. You've passed it to me. Did you feel that he's spot on in his observations and putting all the dots together worldwide? He's sticking his neck out there, isn't he? You know?
Yeah, he even recently came to New Zealand, and I was sick. Right. I couldn't go film him, but fortunately I have a rather large support network here in New Zealand. So one of my fans came over to my house, took my camera, my wireless microphones, went out, filmed it for me, and I'll be editing his presentation up and cutting in the slides and everything, and uploading that all in one part to YouTube soon. And if you're listening to the stream and you want to listen to the interview that I did with Ian R. Crane. It was just a private interview, about 60 minutes, just with him and me. No advertising breaks, no nothing. Ian R. Crane on Codex Alimentarius with Vinnie Eastwood. That's Ian R. Crane on Codex Alimentarius with Vinnie Eastwood. Or you can just search Ian R. Crane, Vinnie Eastwood. That's on right. On Google. It'll be the first thing to come up. And what I found was that he's more or less just talking about how global agendas are implemented locally, Codex Alimentarius, whether it be Agenda 21, whether it be depopulation agendas. The elite don't play isolated games. The only time that you'll ever actually notice that a game is being played in your own country is when your suspicion gets kicked up. And once your suspicion does get kicked up, once you do start digging, you notice that it's not just here. It's not isolated. It is everywhere at all times. And that's what I got from Ian's talk with me, is that all of us have to take some responsibility.
Yes, of course.
None of us live in isolation. I'm not talking about we all need to come together as a big mass and whatever. I'm saying coming together is a bloody waste of time, because everybody's coming together can be sidelined, taken as one big group and ignored altogether. Each and every single individual needs to resist in their own way. If you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, you have the capacity to support people who are doing things that you can't do, or vice versa. Like for myself, for example, I got given nearly $1,600 in donations in the last couple of weeks, because I said to my listeners, I'm being kicked out of my house, I don't have any money, and I may have to close down my show unless I get some support. And I was just totally overwhelmed by the amount of support that just kind of came straight out of that, right?
Yeah,
and
for sure,
people have given me cameras. I've been donated two cameras, three actually. I've been donated wireless microphones, a hardline microphone, which I'm using right now, donated a 27-inch iMac with quad-core processor so I can do my TV show. Okay, this is the thing. If you have the capacity to support somebody who's doing something that you can't do, then it is therefore your duty to support them. That's what collaboration is about. That's what working together for a better world is actually about, doing for people what they can't do for themselves. I went out and I started giving activists coverage, doing films for them, videos, radio interviews, simply because they can't do it themselves. No activist is usually a very egotistical a retard of some description, so they never self-promote. They're not marketers, they're not filmmakers, they're not radio show hosts, whereas I'm a former salesman, I'm incredibly arrogant, I have conveniently been born without a sense of shame, and so I go around and I do for the activists what they can't do for themselves. I bring them on my radio show, I make videos for them, and promote the hell out of them because they know what they're talking about. I don't know necessarily what I'm talking about to the ninth degree. I just listen to the people who do and make up my decisions on life based upon the best information that I have at the time. Yeah. Now, that's always subject to change, which means you should never, ever, under any circumstances, think, oh, I can't change anything. Oh, this is the way it is. Anybody who thinks they know exactly what's going on and that they know everything obviously knows nothing. The person who thinks that they know nothing probably knows enough.
You know, one thing I wanted to just throw in there is that every effort, and it's hard to sort of just speak subtly, if you like, to people to wake them up, but to help them to realize the situation they're in. Let's say, I think there's an awful lot of people living sort of in fear in their hearts. They've got a mortgage, they've got children and stuff, but it's not a satisfactory situation for people to be sort of knowledgeable, aware, but living in fear because they dare not talk about such subject matter on such a big scale. And I think that you've just said, I think I know loads of people who are at least on their everyday, even though they're fully aware in their hearts and minds, they know exactly what's going on, but they're trying to just speak with people, good people, lovely people, just to slowly have them understand that you're not crazy, you're not mad. Unfortunately, this is the situation and this is how it's happening. There's loads of different things, or subtle ways you could probably wake up people in.
Well, I approach waking people up with the same methodology that I used during my sales career, is that if somebody ain't listening to you, they are not worth your time. And you hang up that telesales phone and you go on to the next one, okay? You don't want to waste your time because your time is very valuable. And at the end, when I was learning all that, time was money. And now time is results, okay? If I'm not getting a result, I move on to the next one. Yeah. If I'm engaging with somebody and they keep asking me questions and they don't start insulting me or start calling me names or saying stupid things or twisting my words or anything like that. If they're not doing any of those things and they're instead asking for clarification, if they're genuinely curious and they want to know more, I'll devote 6, 8, 10, 12 hours. Goodness knows. I think the longest non-stop conversation I've had with somebody who I just met and just talking about this stuff was, I think, about 9 hours straight.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Okay, amazing, that was at a party, and you know, having a few beers and what have you, and just keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, because when it comes to the knowledge of the world that I've come to kind of be exposed to through my activities and what have you, you realize that it's ultimately without end, It's all in the inherent value of who you're talking to, what you're talking about, and what your objective is. If your objective is to enlighten somebody else, you often in the process wind up enlightening yourself, because it's when they start asking questions of you that you're forced to actually recall more information, to be better at explaining things, and it's kind of like a practice mode. Mm-hmm. And it's not entirely dissimilar when you're talking to somebody who's very anti the truth. who believes that if they vote, it matters. Very, very different. I know.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? So, my goodness, it's your mind. It's just great to speak with you, Vinny. It really is. And I've got to tell you, I'm pretty extremely confident that your vibrations, your effort on Guerrilla Media TV and on American Freedom Radio have already made a massive positive difference, I would say. Definitely, I'm sure, you know, about it. And that's why I'm here doing what I'm doing as well. But what I wanted to ask you, like I said, you're live with me at the moment. Are you short on time, Vinny, at all? Are you go?
Yeah, I kind of am. I'm going to have to go live on my show in about 7 minutes, and I've got to take a WikiLeak and have some coffee before
yeah,
that.
Me too. Yeah.
So I'm going to have to thank you very much having me on today, Andy, and it's been a pleasure as always.
Yes, and you too. And please do stay in touch because I love what you're doing. I love your energy, and it'll be just fantastic to keep up on news. Everyone else is fighting over here as well, defending themselves and waking up and stuff. So you're absolutely welcome anytime, and I really appreciate that contact. Thank you very much.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And I just want to say a few things as well. Go to my website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. Guerrillamedia.co.nz. That's gorilla with one R, like a soldier, not like an enormous 400-pound gorilla that is currently the head of the state of California. And also my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. And I'd also like to add, there's nothing shameful about shameless self-promotion.
No, there isn't. No, I don't care at all. Not at all. No, there isn't. Right, cool. There isn't. Well, God bless yourself, yeah? And thank you very much for that. It's such a lovely, clear line from New Zealand with you always as well.
All right. Okay. Cool beans, mate.
Yeah.
Have a lovely day.
Thank you very much. And you too. God bless and stay in touch. Bye-bye. So that was Vincent Eastwood, absolutely live from, I hope you enjoyed that. There's so many things we could get together with. This is him. He will give his time to anybody because he's genuine. He's real. He wants to get the word out. And he's actually, you know, fairly humorous with the serious subject matter that we're involved with here.